welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott go back to California, this time to drink a Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley from Rayburn. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
And no, we are not drinking Dornfelder in Rob's basement. He did that last night.
I didn't drink Dornfelder. I do have a wine of that ilk for you eventually.
I'll bet you do.
Wait until Becky gets on the mend. She is not on the show tonight. I did offer, and she said, thank you. That's what she said.
Thank you.
It's like saying to someone, I love you, and they say, thank you.
Not quite the same thing, but I'm sure you get that response to that question.
No, I don't know. I wasn't feeling that tonight. Elton John was not singing. It's just the way it is sometimes.
Honey, I love you. Thank you for loving me.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't even get thanked anymore.
No.
Click. I get just like.
Yeah. That's true. By the way, we'd like to send out some condolences to Tucky. He was on the we mentioned him on the show last. No, that was 2 weeks ago, because this is like sometime in May when this show's coming out. But
anyway,
it was the Carlisle show, and yes, this is Wilford. Yeah, you mentioned Tucky. Tucky was dancing in the Texas Roadhouse.
Yes,
in front of the Smurfs and singing Belinda Carlisle deep cuts. Well, unfortunately, yes, Tucky has a lot more time to go to Roadhouses, tuck his sack, and dance and sing Belinda Carlisle songs. So, sorry, Tucky, but if you're looking for gainful employment, Wine Wars is no longer on, so you could start up that podcast again.
Well,
that did well. They had like 3 shows. Yes. We're on like 400 now or some shit like that.
Well, Tucky had more than us.
We don't get the hint, but still. Tucky. So, I'm sad.
Tucker Carlson.
And Don Lemon also got fired, but Don had turned in a bit of a dick. He's just been of a dick for about 6-8 months now. He's just been a dick. So, you know, don't be a dick, Don. Why are you fired? Because you've been a dick. That's why. I mean, not like Tucker, mind you, or Tucky, but you've been a bit of a dick. So, on the show tonight, we are bringing back a winery that we drank a long time ago. We drank actually the Chardonnay, strangely enough, and we really, really liked that Chardonnay.
I've had that not a handful of times, but a couple times since mm-hmm. then. It's Rayburn's a friend of the show.
Well, yeah. At that time, the Reds, they weren't as easily found. You know, we knew that they were out there. Sure, the website, but I don't know what vintage that is. I can't see that far. But at that point, the Reds were a little bit more elusive. But since then,
I would say it was like 2018.
I'm gonna look. Talk, Scott.
I'm going 2018 on the Rayburn Chardonnay.
2017.
Okay.
Don't drink 2017 Rayburn Chardonnay if you find it anywhere. But since then, though, the Reds have become a lot more prevalent, easier to find. This is the Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley. We also, in the queue, have the Cabernet from Sonoma County.
Hmm.
They are both around $20. I think the Pinot goes for a little bit more than that.
Wine.com is where you got the Sonoma?
No, I got it at Kroger.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hadn't seen a Rayburn Chardonnay on the shelves.
No,
Cabernet on our shelves locally.
They just added it in the last few weeks, and it's now $19.99. I paid like $24, but they dropped the price. So, I don't. We'll find out that if that's good in due time. But
they dropped the price, or you went in there with your scissors and marked up the label so you got a discount?
No, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
You've done it all the time.
No, I don't do that. Although, last night, Henry stole a fork from a restaurant. He said he forgot it. He brought it on accident. And we said, well, how did you do that? What was in my sleeve? What the fuck was the fork in your sleeve, you dumbass?
Why did he want the fork?
He didn't. He realized he had it when we got back to the car. And he goes, we've got to go back. I have their fork. Otherwise, he would have kept the fork. But he, for some reason, was screwing around, had the fork in his sleeve, and never really remembered that he had it in his sleeve. He's stupid. Okay, let's just get the obvious out there. The boy is a total dumbass, but you know.
But he's not.
Well, he was there. And how do you know, A, why did you put a fork in your sleeve if you're not trying to take it?
That's a good question.
And second of all, how would you not know the fork is in your sleeve?
I mean, I could see.
I have robot arm.
Rob was on a soccer dad double date last night, and I could see the boys, you know, being boys and fooling around and, hey, what happens if I put a fork up my sleeve, but forgetting it?
He's stupid, but he's just a dumbass. That beats
the things that children do.
Yes. Nevertheless, I've lost my train of thought. But the Rayburn from Rushmore Valley, Rayburn as a whole, the line, they have a Chardonnay. We know that. They have the Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. They have the Sonoma County Cabernet, and they have a Rosé. That's about it. They don't have anything else. They don't have this big portfolio. They have four wines. This particular wine is about 20,000 case production. So, and I don't know, are they in some other, I mean, the question is, I've always wondered about these wines, are they linked up in some sort of grander Illuminati scheme? I don't know.
I hope not. I like Rayburn. I hope they're not Illuminati.
Well, I don't know. Are they a wine line or are they a wine? I think they're a wine. That being said, they do bounce around a lot.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's hope. We're going to find out.
We are. Although they do actually say that they have certain ways that they make their wines and they use certain things and they're very specific, which is useful. And they're mentioned, you know. Well,
they use certain things and they make it a certain way.
Well, they don't press a button. The proprietor allegedly of Rayburn is Derek Benham. It's not Rayburn, though. Who's Rayburn, then? I don't know.
Why can't Derek be the winemaker for Rayburn?
Well, Derek is the proprietor. He's a proprietor. That's what he is.
What does that?
Yeah, so I think
that sounds Illuminati-ish.
I think this is a tribute to his mother. There we go. So Phyllis. Everything's about Phyllis. Our name, Rayburn, is an old English word that means the river where one drinks. A fitting nod to those who prefer to slow down to observe, appreciate, and flourish in nature's surroundings.
Or you just like to slow down and drink.
Or you just like to speed up and drink. I know some people like that. These wines were inspired by the proprietor's mother, Phyllis Benham, who was most comfortable exploring the great outdoors. There's a picture of her throughout the website, one of her jumping a stone wall with gloves on, which is interesting. She was into parkour. She taught me to appreciate nature's gifts, but to leave well enough alone. Oh. Then, you know, that we already said what Rayburn means. In the process, Phyllis' way of life was to lead a light footprint or none at all. So, they're trying to be sustainable.
They've got some cool things going on. They have a canopy that diverts rainwater into Atascadero Creek, a federally protected salmon spawning habitat.
There we go.
Now, here's gonna, you're either going to like this or you're not.
I'm not.
They collaborated with Tesla Energy to install power pack commercial batteries at the winery.
Well,
either like the Tesla or you don't.
Well, okay, that's fine. That being said, that means that they have connections. They're well known. They're not some freako, and they're not wine press factory wine. They're a winery.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
Well,
the Cabernet is listed also as a new release. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Rayburn, this is the 2019 vintage. I think 2021 is current, but most generally, a lot of this doesn't sell quite as quickly as everything else. So you're still probably going to see 19s and 20s on the shelves wherever you find it. It's around $27. Russian River, 100% Pinot Noir, 100% Russian River. 11 months on 100% French oak, 25% of that oak being new. And as I said before, 20,700 cases made. So it's out there. And it does, Scott, did you know it has some reviews?
Does it have some reviews?
It does. Hello, Scott. This is the Southern man, not the Western man. This is the Southern man. And there are two reviews that I have been tasked to read tonight. And I'm a little, I don't know why, but nobody knows these places. But the first would be the Somme Journal, Scott. Sommelier. Somme is short for Sommelier.
Is that right?
That would be a wine expert.
Okay.
Because they paid off somebody to take a bullshit test. But that's okay. This is how you pour wine in a cup. You pass, dipshit. Okay, good job. Okay. Oh, shit.
Southern man, I think there's a little more to it than that.
Wrap the napkin around the cork or around the bottle. Yes, dumbass. You're very smart. You're a sommelier now. Spell it. Oh, you can't, can you? You fucking moron. Go work at Applebee's then. Shit. Wine steward. Anyway, the Somme Journal. They provided this wine 92 of their points.
Well, and that's a lot of points.
Well, it could be or could be no points. We don't know. They said, striking scents of underbrush, cherry, and sandalwood. Sandalwood. Did someone say sandalwood? Shut up, James. Are both savory and sweet. Up front, primarily floral flavors emerge, including heather and dried roses. I've never heard heather as referred to in a wine. Mm-hmm. Clove spice cranberry is tart on the luxuriously textured mouthfeel, highlighted by a flash of high-toned acidity. The finish sees appearances by cocoa and cedar. My eyes get crossed as I try to read through my microphone.
Yeah, your eyes are crossed, all right.
And then the tasting panel. That's right, the panel of tasters.
Oh, Jesus.
In someone's basement. I know Wilford tries to go and get in that basement, and he never is allowed to be in it, strangely enough. Wear some pants, you pervert. Anyway, 94. Of the panel's point. Yeah, it gave out a lot of points. But there is a certain romance to this wine. Okay. It's lithe, feminine, and see, the tasting panel, they had never touched a woman in a consensual way. So they get a little excited when they write. So it's lithe, feminine, touched in a consensual way. That's a key word. With a sprinkle of white pepper on raspberry, as well as a touch of stoniness. Rather, rainier cherry and great acidity emerge on the finish line.
Only similarity in those two reviews is the acidity.
Yes. It's juicy and feminine. Speaking of juicy and feminine, I'm James Suckling, and I have also reviewed this wine.
Oh, Lord.
Of course, you knew who I was by my voice. And I gave it 92 of my points, the dreaded 92. And I wrote, a pretty nose of raspberries, sour cherries, dried flowers, cloves, and peppercorns. Medium to full-bodied with fine tannins and crisp acidity. Juicy and crunchy with a bright core of spiced fruit. Delicious finish, just like me. And of course, drink me or hold me.
Hold me now.
Hi, this is Wilford, too.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, the four reviews. I reviewed this wine, Scott.
Oh, Lord.
I drank, I'll be on the show later. Did you know that, right?
It's always later for you.
Physician's assistant Wilford is going to be on the show. Anyway, commentary. 90 of my points, by the way.
That's not many.
No. 90 of my points. Commentary. The 19 Rayburn is bright, straightforward, and appealing. I spent all day coming up with tasting notes. This wine deftly shows aromas and flavors of vibrant red fruits. Enjoy. That's what I enjoy it with lamb kebabs.
It's about the most worthless wine review I think I've ever heard.
I was afraid someone would break in on me when I was trying to write the review. I was also furiously masturbating, so I didn't want to be interrupted.
Jesus Christ. Wilford wrong, folks. In the glass.
That was a shitty review, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's the worst fucking review. What's the point?
Did you even drink it?
Well, Wilford.
Did you, Wilford?
Well, he could have drank anything and just gave that review.
In the glass, it looks like a Pinot.
It does look like a Pinot.
You look at...
slightly cranberry. It is translucent, but then again, a Pinot should be.
Yeah, it looks like a Pinot in the glass. I don't know if it's the light, or am I getting a little brackishness?
Well, it's 19. Now, one thing I'll say: normally, Russian rivers tend to be so. You have like Willamette. Willamettes look more like this: a little more translucent, a little more cranberry, a little more softer. Russian rivers can be a little denser looking in the glass. This is not that way.
No, it's not.
On the nose.
Little Pinot Funk.
Rose petal.
Little rose petal, but a little Pinot Funk. Just a little bit in the background. Just a little nice, classic Pinot Funk.
Crushed gravel.
Yay, Rayburn.
Because that's what gravel is. Cherry. Little raspberry. Yeah, it's a nice nose. Nice Pinot nose. Proper.
I'm excited about this now.
Well, I've had Rayburn Pinot before. Not this vintage, though.
Okay.
And I can say this. It's nice.
Let's see if this is nice.
Here we go.
This one. The 19. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's soft, very soft. The flavors build a bit. Up front, you have very pillowy, vanilla and raspberry cream layers that are just like on a silky pillow. And then that's when the oak appears. And the wine itself has a lot of length. A lot, because the finish is still going on. It is a very compact wine. So it's one of these... So some wines are like an ocean, And they'll be 5 miles across, 10 miles deep.
That's not this one.
Now, this one is 20 miles across, 500 feet deep.
Yeah.
It's lengthy, but the depth is spread out. It's not this intense in any one part. But it's very nice.
I think the fact that this is a couple years past current vintage,
yes,
is why I don't think we're seeing as much of the expression of acidity, which is fine. I'm not saying that as a downside, but for a Pinot, I would say this is not much more than slightly acidic. I like it. It's not a downside, but the common thread in the reviews were the descriptions of the acidity and not really prominent here.
I can see where it was, but the oak is really taking control of that, and it's really, really well oaked. The oaking is really spot on. Some of the better oaking I've seen in a Pinot Noir, especially inexpensive Pinot Noir.
Yeah, and $20.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you expect to pay for an entry-priced quality Pinot Noir.
Thereabouts. Yeah, I mean, we've had some though, well, we haven't had him in several years. This was several seasons ago. We were running through a lot of the Sonoma Coast, Russian River, $20 Pinots, like Chalk Hills.
Yep.
Rodney Strong stuff. We ran through all those. And those wines, while nice, were more punch in the face power Pinots. They really were. And we haven't touched any of that stuff since, simply because we drank it all. And we just haven't gotten back to it.
And let me ask you this. Were those Pinots that you bought regularly?
No.
Or even at all?
I mean, we liked them, but I didn't continually drink them.
But I'll tell you what. Is this one knocking my socks off? No. But when I think a nice bottle of California Pinot, this is what I would grab.
It's completely Pinot. You know it's Pinot. It has a lovely mouthfeel. It has an excellent, excellent finish. It is not overdone. It's not quite Burgundian in style either. So it's somewhere, it's more of a kind of a subdued, lithy Californian style. And so, although you might, I wouldn't mistake it for Willamette, though. The flavor profile just isn't the same. But so you're not going to mistake it for French. You're going to know it's Californian, but it's a very adult version. But the oaking really is what makes this wine. Without the oaking, I don't think you'd have as what you have here.
Well, and that's the thing that gives you the idea that this is a quality wine, that this winemaker knows what they're doing, the way they treat it with the oak.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing that knocks your socks off, but it's what a Pinot should be.
Yeah.
For this price point, you know, it's not spectacular. It doesn't have this incredible minerality about it. Not much minerality at all.
Yeah, not
it's
many.
Fine.
How many Californians, you know?
At $20.
Yeah, yeah.
None.
And the fruit isn't. You can get a bigger fruit front palate and still be a good Pinot Noir. Great Pinot Noirs from, you know, the States tend to have a nice, nice fruit front palate. It's not a bomb of fruit, but it's still riper, bigger, juicier. This isn't quite that. This isn't that. This is subdued. Now, once again, 19 perhaps, but I don't think it ever really was showing like a bright red raspberry or something like that. I think it was always just a little bit more rounded off, a little muddled, but in a nice way.
What would you call it? Raspberry cream? Like
raspberry cream and vanilla. Yeah.
Yes, there's a little tart cherry-ish at the front.
Red fruit, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like what Wilfred said.
Jesus.
You're right. I said that. I said, is it flavors of vibrant red fruit, Scott. That's what I wrote. I'm a wine sommelier. Did you know that? Do you need to see my license? Because I lost it. I didn't renew it.
Pull your gym shorts up, please.
Well, but then how would you see my penis if I didn't?
I don't want to see your penis, sir.
Oh, that's strange. I thought you did.
You're strange. Yeah, you were mistaken.
Oh, damn it. Why do I always keep making that same mistake?
Over and over and over with everybody you meet. That's why you keep ending up in jail.
I don't really meet them. They run away, you know.
So, well.
You know.
Maybe if you would stop walking around in public with your gym shorts down at your ankles, people wouldn't run away from you as much. I'm just saying, Wilfred.
Well, one thing, though, I found that I fit in at the Boy Scouts of America meetings for some reason. I don't know why that was.
Boom bots.
I wasn't the only one, so, you know.
Rayburn.
That's right. Oh. It's very drinkable. The drinkability scale is high.
Mm. I'm glad you pulled this out.
It's been a hot minute since we've had Pinot Noir, too.
I'm glad you pulled this out.
I mean, think about this. When was the last Pinot Noir we did on the show? I don't recall.
We get in a single varietal French thing, maybe? A long time ago?
We get in like little ruts where we keep doing the same damn thing. Like we were doing the California Bordeaux blends because they're so damn tasty.
Well,
we ran out of those.
I wouldn't describe that as a rut.
That wasn't a rut, but we got in a cycle.
And that was purposeful, too.
Yes. And I don't think there are any more that we want to try. Are there?
Mm, are you sure about that?
Well, there are, but what ones do you have in mind?
We'll just have to brainstorm.
Did you buy any?
No.
No, because what else is there? There isn't really. Will you get Marietta's Well, the Spur? No.
Ooh.
What about Jack's? You don't want that, dude. Ooh. No, you don't want that. We've had Jack's before. We didn't like that very much. It was bad. It was awful. You know? I don't know of any. I mean, we've drank the main contenders. I'd just like to drink Hands of Time again. I haven't bought any more of that. I need to. Really like that wine. It was a great wine. But this is a lovely drink. I'm excited to drink the Cabernet to see how they did with that. That could be like another Louis Martini or something like that. If it was, it'd be great.
Yes. And Sonoma Cabs are Sonoma Cabs, but...
We like Sonoma Cabs.
They're just drinkers, you know? And mm-hmm. it's just nice to have just a quality California cab
mm-hmm.
that isn't that fruit bomb, you know?
Yo.
And that's what I like about a solid Sonoma.
A nice, chewy, chocolate-laced Cabernet would be very nice.
It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what we're doing here in terms of a food pairing, we're just having our traditional
charcuterie.
Cheese and charcuterie. Is it just a wonderful pairing for this wine?
Mm-hmm.
Like a mushroom dish, like a cream mushroom soup would be nice.
Cream of mushroom soup?
A homemade.
Okay.
My cream of mushroom soup, sir.
I never had your cream of mushroom.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's got a special sauce. Don't ask what it is.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Not a big. That is, I don't know. Last night I had tomato bisque. At Duomici. I had dinner at Duomici, and it's a Italian restaurant in Columbus, and it was...
Rob's a bisque guy.
Yeah, this was...
If there's a bisque on the menu, he's a sucker for a bisque.
This was... That was not the highlight of the meal. I forgot about
okay.
that. It was the Panera tomato bisque with olive oil on it. The olive oil is very good, though.
Yeah.
Next time I buy Panera tomato bisque, I'm going to put olive oil on it. That's all it was. But yeah.
I think sometimes restaurants are afraid of saying a cream of tomato soup and they want to throw it as a bisque when it's really not very bisque-y.
Put a spin on it, though.
There's just nothing wrong with a cream soup. And cream of tomato soup, yeah, everybody thinks Campbell's, but... Just do it. It's a basic dish. But
you could do a little crostinis in it. You could do fresh basil, pour it over the fresh basil.
Yeah.
You can just kick it up just a little bit, just a notch.
Just something.
Yeah. Put a drop of sriracha in it. I don't know. Do something. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the drizzled olive oil on it.
That was very, very good. Yeah.
Cracked black pepper.
It needed that. Did not have that.
They didn't offer you?
No.
Shame on them. That's... They offered that on our appetizers.
Yeah, they didn't.
Well, I think you pissed off that hostess, and she knew you were going to give him a bad review, and you didn't get cracked black pepper on your soup.
She was wearing a wig.
And?
Why?
Wigs are in.
No.
Yes, they are.
No.
You should wear one.
This looked like a plastic hair wig. Yeah, it was a little weird.
You know,
wasn't a good
why
look.
Are you going to shame this young lady about her hair? Maybe.
Because she looks stupid.
Maybe her hair appeared to be a plasticky tint because she'd had it over stylized and had been damaged through improper hair treatments. Maybe she's quite emotionally damaged and traumatized. And you triggered her. You triggered her because you wanted to sit inside in the front of the house.
Nobody was in.
I can't sit. They didn't have room for you until 8 o'clock.
I know. I think with our hoard, she probably wanted us to sit in the front of the house, but that's just trying to be nice. You know. Oh, well.
Back to this Pinot.
Scott.
I think...
Other than cream of mushroom.
What makes this so drinkable is that little... raspberry cream thing on the front that gives it just a nice little creaminess. It's still lithe. It's still light. It's still so approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have that perfect oaking that just takes you the distance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely thing. Lovely craft, well crafted. And the oaking is what tells you that they know what they're doing. Because I don't know that they're buying their grapes. I'm assuming. I don't know if they do.
Yeah, but they do.
Yeah, they probably do.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely, they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're sourcing. But when they're making it, they're...
Oh, they're, this is their grapes.
Are they, is it a state?
Yes.
I don't know.
This is them. This is their land. We talked about the canopy feeding water.
I know they have a winery. It said cellared in the Russian River Valley. It doesn't say a state.
They're a certified California sustainable winery. You can't do that when you're sourcing your grapes right there.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just suspicious.
You don't know.
I'm suspicious by nature. It's a bonded winery. Do you know that? Love the label, too.
I would pick a song to describe this wine. It would be The Distance.
The Distance?
She's going the distance.
I think this wine needs a little bit more of a smoother.
No, you know why I'm saying it's going the distance? Because of the finish.
Well, it has a long finish.
Because of the oaking.
Yeah, but this is more, you know.
She's going the distance. She's going for speed.
That suggests this wine is really intense. It's not. It's an intense song. This wine is, you know.
I'll give you that.
You know.
But it's also about being thorough, and it's about that song. The she in that song is this wine.
No. This is a wine that you're like, hello. It's time to make love. There was a... Scott's by himself when he says that, but still, whatever.
You said it. I didn't say that. Yeah. I said the song's The Distance.
And Deb's like, what are you doing in the bathroom, Scott? Who are you talking to?
Turn the fan on, will ya?
Still. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Tonight, we're going to have a visit from, instead of Cousin Vinny, we're going to have a visit from Physician's Assistant Wilfred Wrong.
I don't know what you mean, Cousin Vinny. It's ask Dr. Vinny. It's not my Cousin Vinny with, what's his name? The little, little man. Joe Pesci. Yeah. This is Physician's Assistant Wilfred. Now, you might say, what the fuck does that mean? Well, do you listen to the show? If it's their first time, welcome. And this is not going to be at all pornographic if you are sensible and very, you know, a Puritan. But if you
it's
are...
It's not going to be pornographic?
No, it will be, though, if you are listening to the show. So, Ask Dr. Vinny is a segment in Wine Spectator. Scott's pointless, useless as a host, but... So Ask Dr. Vinny is a question and answer where they send in bullshit fake emails.
Cousin Vinny.
To Wine Spectator, and Dr. Vinny answers the question. Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm a physician's assistant, and my name is Wilford. So Scott is going to read the same questions that they made up for Dr. Vinny to ask or answer, and then I'm going to answer them my way. Correctly.
Quickly.
No, correctly.
Correctly.
That's right.
Okay, so, physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Yes, you're very good at this, Scott.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. No. Yes.
This first question comes from Peter.
Peter?
In Canada. I think from a Quality Inn in Canada.
I don't like the Canadians. The Triple B doesn't like them either, but, you know.
When someone asks for a fruity wine, you should know about this, Wilfred. Do they mean sweet?
Are you being homophobic? I'm thinking that you are, but Fruity wine and yes.
Sweet.
Well, do they mean sweet? Well, what did Dr. Vinny say? Well, he said, Dr. Vinny said it was a great question. It's not, Peter. It's a fucking stupid question because you're stupid. But you're Canadian, so I would expect that. But we don't have any Canadian listeners. We have them in Quebec, but they speak French, don't they? They don't even know what I'm saying now. So, you know.
They don't want to listen to you anyway.
Merde. You know, is that French, right? For shit? Merde?
Or that's death.
I don't know. Anyway, normally people, when they say, I like a fruity wine, yeah, they mean sweet. Dr. Vinny doesn't think that, but Dr. Vinny's stupid. But the physician's assistant is on call. Normally they mean sweet. So what I would suggest is telling them to fuck off. No, what I would say is, first of all, are they asking you at your house? Or are you a waiter? Because Peter, if you're a waiter, you should probably know. Because you would be a wine steward. Maybe even a wine sommelier. So you should know this shit. But if it's at your house, what wine do you already have? Do you have a sweet wine? If you do, that's a good way to get rid of it. So,
there you go.
Serve it to them. So, there you go. Yes, they mean sweet.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, yes.
What's the best way to travel with wine and avoid bottle shock?
Why are you traveling with wine? Is it your friend or... It's like when I travel with an inflatable woman, how do I keep her from deflating? That kind of question,
when
basically.
You're in love with an inflatable woman.
But this is Erica. This is Erica, a woman, probably. So maybe she has one of those Scott dolls.
We have a neighbor named Erica. She's not from Miami Beach.
Well, maybe Erica Estrada. He just put an A on the end. He's trying to be.
Erica Estrada.
He's trying to be. Yeah. So how do you keep your sex doll from deflating? That's the question?
That is the question. Oh. How do you do it, Wilfred?
I keep my mouth on the nozzle all the time.
I'll bet you do.
No. How do you avoid bottle shock? Well, it depends on what you mean by travel. For instance, if it's in an airplane, Rob the Wine Guy has flown with many bottles of wine, but he didn't drink them when he got there. So you can't really do it on carry-on, can you? So flying, you can buy special suitcases for it. That's what you do. But it's really, 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 really difficult. So if you're in a car, don't kick the bottles or use them as, you know, toys. That's helpful. But if you're flying, then you're fucked. Buy it when you get there, Erica, with an A.
Yeah, the best way to travel.
It's hard
wine.
To fly with a sex doll, too, because they look at you funny.
I'm pretty sure they look at you funny anyway.
I said it was a therapy animal. I even had a note from my doctor.
What were you doing with it in the airport, carrying it through?
It was giving me a blowjob. Well, kind of. I mean, it's a doll, but you know. What? I'm a sex addict. Go ahead, Scott.
Dr. Vinny to the rescue, please.
There you go. What's your question?
You're going to love this question.
What's
not
that,
that you're going to know anything about bringing a bottle of wine to dinner, but here's the question. And this is from Brett, friend from the Red Roof Inn in Winter Garden, Florida.
Actually, that is a gentleman I've met at the Red Roof Inn.
That's why.
And it was there.
He's talking to you.
No, he's a dick. I never liked a man named Brett.
Well,
he stole my kidney. He didn't even call me the next day. That's Brett for you.
Well,
with two T's.
You'd have left your number.
Seven.
Brett's question.
Yes.
He often brings his own expensive wine to dinner at restaurants. And pays the corkage fee.
I've got an erection right now, Brett. Wow.
Now, Brett's wife.
You don't have a wife.
Thinks that when they're dining with others, they're obligated to share the wine they brought. But Brett disagrees. Physician's assistant, Wilfred, what do you say?
Well, first of all, the fact that you'd have a wife, you probably bought her out of a catalog. But still, I'm assuming the people you're eating with are her friends because you don't have any friends, Brett. Because no one with a name Brett, except for the people who listen to the show and your name is Brett, no one has ever liked you. Brett, we don't use this kind of word on the show. There are words we don't use, except if Rob the Wine Guy calls Scott that under his breath. But Brett, I will see you next Tuesday, basically, because that's what you are. You're the biggest asshole I've ever met. Your expensive Bonanza wine is not that exciting. What a dick. First of all, though, the asshole that brings his expensive wine to a restaurant because their wines aren't good enough, that already makes you a gooch. I mean, you are already a gooch. But no, you were a gooch because your name is Brett. That's the first thing. And then the lie about having a wife is a second. Maybe he has a sex doll, and he talks to the sex doll. But who would the people be at the table that he's not sharing the wine with? That's the only thing I can't figure out.
Her sex doll friends?
Because, well, no, he can't carry in. That's a lot of sex dolls to carry in a restaurant. I mean, you could inflate them. Maybe he has one of those portable pumps. He's like, wait, Mr. Waiter. Hold on. Hold on. I know it's awkward. I just have to dress them now. So yeah, that's how that works for Brett. Brett, go fuck yourself, Brett. You're even Dr. Vinny's called you an asshole.
Physician's assistant, yes. Wilfred.
That was fun. Yes, go ahead.
Is it true?
Is it?
That wine gets better as it gets older.
I hope so. I thought I got better as I got older, but I'm 107, so I'm dead. But it depends on the fact of what kind of wine you have, or what kind are you talking about. And what do you mean by older? I mean, generally, no, because wines are normally made to be drank younger. That's the way they make wines now, because if you held everything for 30 years, how could they sell you the next wine, I guess? I don't know. So no, pretty much. But there are certain wines you can age, but for the generally speaking, you know, what was this guy's name? Oh, he's from India.
Saksham.
Saksham from India. Probably not. I don't know. No, Saksham. Do we have any Indian listeners?
Yeah.
Good. Hey, great. It's exciting.
Excerpts from Dr. Vinny's actual response.
I like your food, by the way. Go ahead. Yes.
The short answer is no.
No, it is. That's
the
true.
The more complex answer is some wines evolve with time, and that evolution can be fascinating and delicious. Here's the next excerpt. However, a wine cellar is not a hospital. Thanks for sharing that, Dr. Vinny. Is it an operative? It's Dr. Vinny.
Fascinating and delicious. So is cannibalism to some people there, Dr. Vinny.
Physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Yes.
What type of medicine do you practice in your ability to be a physician's assistant?
Gynecology.
Oh, gynecology.
You knew the answer before you asked it, didn't you?
I did not.
I'm an amateur gynecologist.
I'll bet you are.
Yeah, so what's the rectal doctor? I don't know what that is. I'm an ass doctor, too. Yeah. Not really, no.
Well.
I offer free exams. No one, I don't, for anything.
I would have figured he'd gone for urology.
There was some guy that took me up on that, and it really was bad because...
He took you up on it?
Yes.
He took you up on it.
He was gross.
Took you up on it.
He hadn't bathed in like 6 months.
What's your current record for bathing?
Well, every 3 weeks, but that's more than 6 months, Scott.
3 weeks is more than 6 months. You're right, Wilfred.
No, or less. I don't know. I'm drunk. What's your next question?
You are drunk. You're always drunk, Wilfred.
Shouldn't be this hard for you, Scott. It's an interactive website.
How does whole cluster fermentation, you should know about the whole cluster, Wilfred, reduce alcohol levels?
Does it? I don't know. What did Dr. Vinny say? I'm only a physician's assistant.
This is from Tarek.
I don't even see this on the... Why are you picking things that aren't on the same first page, Scott?
In a recent article about France's Rhone Valley, Wine Spectator, senior editor.
He actually answered this.
He did.
Where did you find this question? I am circling down. I don't see any of this question. The term reduction, what's that mean in wine? I know what that... Oh, here we are. No. Why are grapes harvested in bins instead of big truck bed? How about that? No?
Well, there you go.
No.
You like the big truck beds, don't you?
Because that's a stupid idea. I think we already did that, actually. But I'm going to ask my own question.
What's your question, Wilfred?
No.
Why don't you ask the host?
Oh, you want me to ask you?
Yes.
Okay. Why are you such a cunt? No, I'm sorry. No, I will try better. Let's find one here that's good. Can I sell my wine? That's a question.
No.
It's Hannah from Pensacola.
Wine is not a hospital.
That's not the answer. Dear Hannah, well, Dr. Vinny said, no, not without a license. Well, guess what, Hannah? Dr. Vinny's a square. You know what? You can sell it on the down low. Black market, baby. Sell it black market.
It's hip to be square.
He said, if you were talking about selling wines from your own personal collection, I would still tell you that it's illegal to sell alcohol without a license. Oh, fuck you. Who the hell's going to know, Dr. Vinny? Yeah. Yeah, you can do it, Hannah. Sell it. But you probably are talking about Kung Fu Girl Riesling. Nobody wants to buy that. So
it's actually pretty good. There's nothing wrong with Kung Fu Girl Riesling.
Do you want to buy it from Hannah from her apartment under her sink?
Depends on what the discount is.
I think she's selling it for over what she paid, Scott.
Well, not Kung Fu Girl Riesling. Okay. She's not.
She wants to sell it to you for $25. And pictures of her feet. So maybe it's worth that. I don't know. I've not seen her feet. Maybe you're just buying the pictures of her feet for $25. I don't know.
Physician's assistant.
Yes.
Wilfred, would you like a question about bubbles?
I'll take one more question. Yes.
Would you like a question about bubbles?
I'll take a question about bubbles. Sure.
And this is from Deborah in Boca Raton. And in air quotes, it says Brett's wife.
It's Brett's wife?
Brett from the Red Roof Inn in Winter Garden.
She already moved away from him because he wasn't in Pensacola or wherever. The Boca Raton.
No, they're multi-coast.
Oh.
They have coastal. They have inland properties. Yeah. Dr. Vinny.
Yes.
Why would a still white wine, such as a Chardonnay, have little bubbles on the bottom and have a slightly effervescent taste? What do you think about that, physician's assistant? Wilfred.
Sometimes the winemaking process can cause that, Scott. I mean, it's not that unusual. You know, normally they
unusual to be loved by anyone.
If you have a white wine that is not a bubbly wine that is has lots of bubbles, that can be a sign of a flawed wine. That, you know, appearance does matter. So if this wine that we're drinking here was green but still tasted good, that's but we a problem. We would have a problem with a green wine. But sometimes wines can re-ferment in the bottle. They can do that and cause that. I mean, how do you think champagne's made, Scott? You don't know. Anyway, it can be a problem. Sometimes you should just shut up and drink your KJ Chardonnay.
What's wrong with KJ Chardonnay?
I didn't say there anything was. I mean, these people aren't drinking a Burgundy. They're not. Drinking butter Chardonnay, Scott. It tastes like movie theater popcorn and sawdust. It's got bubbles, yeah. It also has herpes, so, you know.
Well, folks.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, mm-hmm. and we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks, from the, I hope you enjoyed the physician's assistant, Wilfred. Scott wrote all that. That's a lot to read from me.
It's the Wine Spectator. You made me read it off the fucking
The jokes page. That you wrote, you know. It's a good job, Scott. Folks, I want you to send appreciations to Scott. He likes you to do drawings for him. normally of penises. I don't know why Scott likes that.
Rob likes to draw.
Scott likes pictures of dicks, okay? Not real. Don't take a picture of your dick and send it to Scott, right? No, Scott actually wants that, too.
You know, they can't see you winking at me.
Okay, Scott wants that, too. If you want to take a picture of your dick and send it to him, that's fine. So, the Rayburn Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. We're going to go over to Scott, who's going to give a thorough review, not like Wilford Wong.
Commentary. This was really good.
Red fruit.
Tasting notes.
Thanks, you dipshit.
God. It was oaked.
He didn't say oak.
That was my spin on his take.
You have the deluxe version.
That's the deluxe version. Jesus. A really well made wine. You have to say it's a higher production wine, 20,000 cases.
Yeah.
Love the way the wine is treated with the oak. Really well done. The star of this show is the length of the finish. That's what separates it. I'm going to probably bump this up a little higher just because it's just so perfect for what I think of when I want a California Pinot. I don't want that overly fruity style.
No.
I want it to be lithe. I want it to have nice oaking. Would I like a little more of this, a little more of that? Yeah. But the drinkability and that finish, those two things, I'm giving it an 89 on my points.
Ooh.
Probably a little generous, but it is what it is. I really like this. This is a bottle I'd buy again.
Yeah.
This is a bottle I'd buy again.
It's a bottle that I think that would have wide appeal. People would enjoy it. It doesn't matter who they are. It would be a great bottle to say, hey, you know what you're going to try tonight? You're going to try Pinot Noir. And you pull out the Rayburn. First of all, they've done a good job with their packaging because their bottles are very pretty. They're very nicely done, very tasteful. Excellent, excellent packaging. I love the packaging. It's classic, but it looks great. Nice job. So a person's going to be happy about that. And they're going to taste the wine. It's going to be very, it's going to show them what Pinot Noir is, but not overly challenge them, but still give them a great experience. I'm giving it 88 of my points. I have no problem with Scott's 89. That's fine. It's somewhere in that 88, 89 range. And it's a very, very, very solidly made, well done wine. You took a grape and then you really put your spin on it and made it really nice. And what I liked here is they didn't try to overdo it. They just made Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like with their Chardonnay. They just made a Chardonnay that was good.
No.
That's just, nobody does that.
I do have to say, the Chardonnay, side by side, the Chardonnay's a better.
Well, the Chardonnay, that vintage was a little bit more of an overachiever. And you saw these really high reviews there, and that's fine. Those reviews already are inflated because that's the gang of four that don't know what they're doing.
Well, but like Wilford had it at 90. He didn't blow it up at 94 or whatever.
He didn't even drink the goddamn thing. He said red fruit fucking. I mean, yes. Oh, it's red. Oh, red fruit.
But his score was a 90.
Yeah, he said it's so, Pinot and it's red because James it's Pinot and all the red fruit.
James
yeah.
Suckling's 92 is normally our 85. So well,
in reality, how many Pinots, if you know anything about wine, are black fruit or blue fruit? They aren't. They're red fruit.
Yeah.
Pinots are red fruit.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to drink it to write that.
I agree.
At all. Not even like a second. So, there you go. What do you mean I drank it? I mean, it was warm and somebody had dropped in the parking lot. I drank it out of the bottle, but it had a scuff.
Out of a puddle in the parking lot?
No.
Somebody dropped it in the parking lot. The bottle broke.
It
was in a pothole with frogs.
Back when I worked,
you drank it from there?
That's a true story. Back when I worked at Anderson's, and I told the story before, but it's been a long time, and it's a great story. We had this wine rep, and he worked. I don't remember what it was called, but we called him the Count because he looked like a vampire, and he was slovenly, disheveled, just you know. And
a lot like Rob.
Yes. So he sold a lot of stuff from Eastern Europe. Go figure.
The count.
And so he was bringing us in a sparkler.
One sparkler.
So I'm standing there.
Two sparkler.
And he goes, I brought you wine. I dropped it in the parking lot. It's got a scuff on it. Some of it spilled out, but it's mostly in there. I want you to try it. I think it's really good. And so I look at the person.
The cork was gone?
Yeah. And I think it already, but it doesn't matter. And so I look at my friend Steve, Steve was, because I was in my 20s, and I was in my early 20s, I was like 21. Steve was in his late 50s. He's, younger than Scott. And so Steve goes, let's just be nice. So we took it to the back. First of all, as soon as we got to the back, we were able, because we didn't allow him to come with us, we were allowed to start laughing. Then we tasted it. It tasted like warm apple juice and piss because it had been in his car rolling around on the floor for days. I don't know how this guy kept a fucking job, but that's where it came from. This wine did not taste like it came with. No. Oh. This is a lovely wine. Rayburn does a great job, folks. If you see their products, buy them because they're well done. They are in grocery stores now. And quite frankly, to you all out there, that's a gift.
It really is.
It's a gift because it's quality wine that you can buy that is interesting, that's properly made. Always with every wine that you buy, and I don't think we stress this enough, always serve it at the correct temperature, cellar temperature. If you need to put something in the refrigerator, put it in the refrigerator for 5 minutes before you drink it. Always, you want that nip, that chill. You want it to be 60-ish. You want it to be in the low 60s when you drink it, maybe even high 50s. We are in the wine vault. The wine vault is always at that temperature. We have to dress warmly because it is always down. It doesn't matter what day. It could be 95 degrees outside in August. It's this temperature
down
here.
It's chilly.
It's chilly down here. And the wine is chilly too. So make sure this wine is not warm when you drink it. Don't drink it at room temperature if you are at 75 degrees. This wine will show completely differently.
It'll just blow away all the subtle fruit that's here. Yeah. I think the other thing that it'll really affect, and we didn't mention this in either of our reviews, the outstanding nose that this wine has.
This wine has a lovely nose.
You get this too warm, the nose is going to be different. It just is.
Another thing, folks. Not just the wine should be at the proper temperature. Your glasses that you drink out of should not come out of a hot dishwasher or hot. They should be cool to the touch as well. They should be just like the cellar temperature.
Who's going to serve their wine out of a wine glass straight out of their dishwasher?
I've met people that do that, Scott. It's
the
sanitary.
Southern man.
No.
Western man.
I drink.
No. Even Wilfred would know better than that.
Would he? I don't have a dishwasher. I live in a box on the street. You know how much rent is in San Francisco, Scott? Good God. I can't give enough hand jobs to keep up.
Oh, Lord.
Probably because I have to travel to the Tamarack in West Virginia to give those, but still.
Yeah, that's a long call.
It's legal in West Virginia, I've been told. If I say that I'm related to the person I'm jerking off, so that's what I always say. Oh. God. That's my brother. And they're like, oh, that's legal in West Virginia, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway. West Virginia joke. Nobody listens to us in West Virginia, so it's okay. An 88 and 89. You know what? A value-priced Hall of Fame. Tip of the cap to Rayburn. And soon, very soon, we will have your Cabernet on. And I'm sure I'm really excited about that wine, quite frankly, right now. Because I think it's going to be good. If it's bad, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be very mad. But that's always a good show.
Bad mad. Bad mad man.
Yep. I'm going to get mad here in a little bit on our second episode because it's something Scott brought, and it's going to taste like trash. But that's okay because I have a busy day tomorrow and I can't be too drunk. So that's okay, folks. It's the way I regulate my body. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.